But now it's time that we have decided to call the late diversion. This is where we take a breather from the debate and delve a little deeper into political moments and matters. We'll be looking at pivotal moments at gaffes and at the glory. And if you've one of these that you'd like to hear more about, you can text us on 51551. But for tonight, earlier, Jack Murray, CEO of Media HQ, dropped into studio to take us back to a January night in another RTE studio in 1999.
Yes, Katie, as you said yourself, the biggest political changes often happen in a moment. Sometimes it can be an offhand remark, an overconfident boast. And as the saying goes, this one happened on the Late Late Show. It was a Friday night, the 15th of January in 1999, and Pádraig Flynn was one of the guests. He was EU Commissioner at the time, and he'd had a very busy week. The EU Commission, where he was Ireland's Commissioner at the time, had just survived a motion of censure from the Parliament. And Flynn, by his nature, is a very gregarious person. And on the night in question, he was in especially great form. And the story goes that his original interview was scheduled to be at the end of the programme. And he was in such high form in the green room that the production team thought, this man is cooked, he's good to go, we need to get him out live on air as soon as possible. So he came out on air with the late, great Gay Byrne. And just moments into the interview, he would create a pivotal political moment that would change the direction of Irish politics. But it's worth reflecting, I suppose, on what led to that moment.
Yeah, because, of course, there is a long backstory to this. It's about planning.
Yeah, in one word, it's planning. And it's easy to forget now, in the days that we live now, but the late 1990s was a very cathartic time in Irish politics. We had come to the point where the corruption of the 1980s, we wanted to lance the boil of that. And there was a series of tribunals. We had the McCracken Tribunal. It reported in really quick time, and that kind of put pay to Charlie Haughey. It was so successful then the Moriarty Tribunal came after that. Now, that would take a good while longer. And I suppose the nub of the matter here was that on the planning thing, is that for a number of decades there'd been serious questions and rumours around corruption in Dublin County Council. Strange decisions, land rezonings and a dysfunctional system that people thought you needed to kind of oil it liberally to get a result out of it. And there was no hard evidence. And then two men stood up, two barristers, in July 1995, Michael Smith and Colin McGeochig, offered £10,000 as a reward for information to lead to a conviction for planning corruption. And their search piqued the attention of a man called James Gogarty. And James Gogarty was a former disgruntled construction employee, and he had plenty of secrets. His evidence was potentially explosive. He named former Fianna Fáil cabinet minister Ray Burke, and Ray Burke resigned, and Taoiseach Bertie Ahern, his hand was forced. And a new tribunal, as if we didn't have enough tribunals, another tribunal came along. And this one was called the Flood Tribunal, and it later became the Mahon Tribunal. And its job was very simple: follow the rezoning money. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, Katie. As the investigators prepared for the tribunal, they discovered a very interesting Garda report from the early 1990s that never amounted to anything. And it was filed by a Sligo-born property developer who was living in London, and his name, Tom Gilmartin. And remember that name. He'd been involved in the early stages of what turned out to be Liffey Valley, and at that stage it was the largest shopping centre in Ireland. And the tribunal contacted Gilmartin, but he was so traumatised by the experience, and he was reluctant, and he said he had such a bad time coming to Ireland that he wouldn't come back.
Okay, so that's the background. And I can tell you, I spent a great many years of my life incarcerated in Dublin Castle at both the Moriarty and the Flood and the Mahon Tribunals. So this is very close to my heart. But tell our listeners how this then relates to that night on the Late Late Show.
So let's go back to January the 15th. And it was a cold January night, and Pádraig Flynn arrived out onto the set with Gay Byrne. And if you can imagine it now, every inch the European power broker, the power suit, the darkened hair, larger than life character. And Gay Byrne set the mood from the very start, talking about the heave that had happened earlier that week against the Commission. Here's how it started.
Yes, you're laughing now, P, but narrow escape yesterday. Did you get the shock of your life? You were nearly gone, you and the rest of the gang.
Survived it once again.
Survived it once again. You're used to survival.
The funny line on that, Katie, is survived it once again. he had survived that, but he didn't know what was about to come in a moment for him. And Gay Byrne was so good in these moments. He was the ringmaster par excellence. He'd set the agenda on The Late Late Show for 37 years, and this was actually his last season. He was a couple of months from retirement. And Gay Byrne, in only the best way that he could, got to work on Pádraig Flynn. He built him up, and it's a bit, when you look back on it, it's a bit like putting the wind underneath Icarus's wings.
Okay, let's just have a listen to that part of the interview.
You have immense power, P. You have immense power. Do you love it?
Yes.
You love the power.
Well,
you love
I don't know
there.
What's the sense of power, but you get the opportunity at this level of doing something substantial and leaving something behind you. There are two types of politicians, really. Front runners and safe people. The safe people keep everything nice and even. So you've got to get the balance right. Now, the front runners, they're motivators. But of course, they take terrible risks because they identify problems and they try and put the solutions in place as against the ideological.
And you're a front runner.
You've said it.
You've got to love it, don't you? You can kind of see that the Titanic is about to hit an iceberg and you're just wondering. And I remember that night, I was about to go out on that Friday night, and the minute it started, I pulled up a chair and I thought, something's going to happen here. And the interview had so many great moments. It was really the gift that kept giving. And I have to tell you, it produced one of my favourite interview moments of all time, bar none. One of the best ever memes.
Okay, let's have a listen to one of your favourite moments of all time.
I get, with expenses, $140,000 a year, and I pay 30.3% tax on that, so it's about a net $100,000. And out of that $100,000, I run a home in Dublin, Castlebar, and Brussels. I want to tell you something. Try it sometime when you have a couple of cars and three houses and three homes and a few housekeepers.
Isn't it just fantastic? And do you know what? It's one of those ones where it still comes up in kind of in conversations where somebody will suggest something outlandish and somebody else will say, try it sometime when you have a couple of this or you have a couple of that. And it's so good. And there's so many of those moments in this interview. And what Gay Byrne did so expertly was he made Pádraig Flynn feel at his ease. And when he was feeling at his most comfortable, Byrne was like a chess grandmaster. He made his significant move. Now, Tom Gilmartin, remember him? We talked about him earlier on. Well, Pádraig Flynn was one of those people that he gave money to, and Gay asked him about it. Now, Flynn initially batted him off and was ready for the approach by Gay Byrne. But, you know, our front runner, our European commissioner, he just couldn't dodge the excitement. This is what happened.
But you know Gilmartin?
Oh, yeah.
You know Tom Gilmartin?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't seen him now for some years.
I see.
I met him. He's a Sligo man who went to England, made a lot of money, came back, wanted to do a lot of business in Ireland. Didn't work out for him. He's not well. His wife isn't well. And he's out of sorts.
So that was the moment, Jack.
Yeah. And I love that line as well. Like the euphemism, he was out of sorts. And, you know, he kind of summed it up. What Pádraig Flynn didn't realise was in that moment, it was the pivotal moment. He changed the course of Irish politics. Tom Gilmartin was out of sorts, all right, because he was listening to the interview. And he was at home with his wife in Luton, and he was listening to it on Tara TV. And to say he was seething, it was an understatement. He was so angry, Katie, at how Flynn had demeaned him and how he'd belittled his wife. His wife suffered from multiple sclerosis and was paralysed in a wheelchair. And he decided, he vowed that day that he was going to go to do everything he could to get back at Pádraig Flynn, and that he was going to get to him really quickly. And by the end of the week, he was telling the Sunday papers that he was coming back and he was going to testify at the tribunal. And he said it was one of those sliding door moments that if Pádraig Flynn had stuck to his text and said, I'm not going to say anything about the tribunal, it probably wouldn't have happened. And it shows you how the arrogance at play, and it also shows the mastery of Gay Byrne. It's worth remembering about this pivotal moment that Pádraig Flynn's career ended in September of 1999, 9 months after this. The entire European Commission had to resign over allegations of malpractice. He never held another political office after that. And Tom Gilmartin's evidence proved pivotal at the tribunal. It caused huge problems for Bertie Ahern, people like the late Liam Lawler, George Redmond, former Dublin County Council official, and Frank Dunlop. I think before we leave the story, one of the things that fascinates me about this moment is the bravery of Tom Gilmartin and the pressure that he came late in his life. And he passed away in November of 2013. And in some regards, that after that moment with Páraic Flynn, he became the person that they couldn't silence. And his son, Tom Jr., delivered the eulogy at the funeral. And I think it's a fitting kind of end to the story. And let me just quote from the eulogy. "Ireland owes my father a debt of gratitude for doing what he has done. He's owed an apology by the state and by certain parts of the political media and the establishment for what was done to him." And I think the interesting thing from Tom Gilmartin's point of view was he could have backed down and his life would have been simpler. And if it wasn't for the steps that he took at great personal cost to him, because the tribunal thing took years, we wouldn't have found out any of that. And it definitely changed how politics operates in this country.
Did he ever get that apology, Tom Gilmartin?
Not that I'm aware of. I do think that the flow of what happened through the tribunal would have been very satisfying, very, very satisfactory for him. But you could imagine that it all took so long, the personal toll, and he was in his later years, and it wasn't exactly a tranquil time either for his final years.
Indeed not. Jack Murray, unbelievable moment. I think anyone who is interested in politics in the country will remember it. And but if they didn't, it certainly came back to life there with those clips. Many thanks. That's Jack Murray there, CEO of Media HQ.